You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, we'll hear from a Tennessee folk group who used to live in Wisconsin and are returning this month for a number of concerts all around the state. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Sun Prairie is cleaning up after a natural gas explosion in the city's downtown led to one death, and the state is taking back money from the Mercer School District after a school board member brought allegedly wasteful spending to light. Rob Menser is with us again for a look at those stories and more. He's a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
Let's start in Sun Prairie. This tragic explosion caused one death. Cleanup still underway. Can you tell us what led up to this explosion?
Sure. This is a really sad story, and just the destruction of these several buildings in downtown Sun Prairie is just extremely dramatic. So this is a gas leak that caused this huge explosion there on Tuesday night, which then caused these fires that destroyed these big buildings across a couple of blocks. The explosion killed the firefighter Corey Barr, who owned a tavern downtown. That was one of the buildings that was destroyed. And there was another firefighter who was hospitalized in the blast. He was burned and his jaw broken. But he is apparently is doing better, or is in the hospital and is up and talking. So as far as we know, the cause of this was a subcontractor working for through Verizon Wireless that was doing work in the area that appears to have punctured the natural gas line. We don't know that much more than that. I guess there are no reports to suggest that this was an intentional act. But we don't know whether it was like negligent, whether it was just an accident, that something that happens. And of course, there's going to be a lot more investigation of what caused this.
As we're hearing in the news, Rob, flags flying at half-mast in Wisconsin in honor of the late Corey Barr. A memorial coming up tomorrow. Here's his wife, Abby Barr, talking about how people knew him.
The outpouring of the messages coming in about him and how wonderful he was is not just people saying it. It's true. It's 110% true. He'd give the shirt off his back. He's just amazing.
And evacuations had gotten underway before the explosion. So if there's one bit of good news, that those evacuations, it sounds like, Rob, could have prevented a lot worse happening.
Yeah, no, there's just no question. The police and the first responders who responded when the report of the gas leak was first made absolutely got people to safety, and it is without a doubt they save many lives.
Turning to another story this week, the state of Wisconsin trying to get back $175,000 from the Mercer School District after one of their school board members recently elected tried to highlight allegedly wasteful spending there. This story hasn't been as prominent in the news, Rob, but kind of a big deal. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been as prominent in the news, although this week the story reported out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was definitely one of the most prominent stories on our USA Today Network Wisconsin sites this week. So Mercer is this small town way up north in Iron County. It has fewer than 2,000 people in it. And this is the story of a woman who was a critic of the school board and decided to run for school board, was elected, and started like poking around and asking questions about how they conducted business. And she started to find these practices that are, you know, that she felt were hard to justify. There were other critics felt that way. The district was paying its administrator a higher salary than the terms of his contract. That's not a typical way for a school district to operate. There was something called a community recreation fund, which is normal. A lot of districts have these. It was under the current administrator, it had grown from $3,000 per year to more than $200,000 per year. So there ended up being this sort of escalating fight between school board members and this one particular school board member who was raising these criticisms. They tried to block her from seeing school board, district documents, and getting these, she had to file open records requests and so on. She ended up taking her complaints to the Department of Public Instruction. They asked for documentation from the district. District apparently could not provide it, or anyway hasn't provided it, and this led to this decision that the state is clawing back $175,000 in funding from the district.
And so what happens now? Can the school appeal this?
The school can appeal it, and it has said they will appeal it. Some of this has to do with documentation. It may be that they are able to make the case that the spending was proper. So we don't know that. The district administrator did not speak to for this particular report that came out. But what you see is this, it's like this story about a small town in a way, and this is something that happens in local government, which is somebody is maybe a gadfly or a critic, and then other people's reaction is to try to shut them down, and it leads to this vicious cycle that ends up making everyone. My argument is it ends up hurting everyone. The school board actually voted in this case to consider legal action against anyone who forwarded an email critical of the district. That is not a good policy, but it sort of shows you where people's minds are. And they said that there have been cases of reported cases of vandalism. These are just claims. We don't exactly know. But the point is that emotions have run high on this in this conflict, and it shows how these local issues get, they're close to people's hearts.
Briefly, before I move on to one more issue, this all started. This person had run for the school board after it came out that the girls' basketball team was shown 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, they were allowed to watch 50 Shades of Grey on a field trip or something, which. Apparently this community member thought was inappropriate. I've not seen it, so I couldn't possibly speak to that.
Nor have I. Well, I want to jump to one more kind of fun story here, Rob. A woman from New Berlin is making headlines for maybe, Rob, changing the way we think about bowling shoes. What's going on?
Yeah, I always thought that that bowling shoes were supposed to be ugly, but but apparently maybe not. Kelly Dugan is a graphic designer from New Berlin, and she is a finalist in a national contest to build a better bowling shoe. You can see her design. It's sort of a nice, kind of nice blue. It has a interesting pattern on it. They're not bad shoes. They don't look like any bowling shoes I've seen.
And would you wear these, Rob, outside of the bowling alley if they became available on the market?
Well, let's not. I wouldn't go quite that far. You know what I mean? I have some standards to uphold. But for bowling shoes, they're quite nice.
So what do we know what's next for the finalists here? Will we be seeing these soon?
Yeah, so you're right. They're going to be there's going to be a big event in New York in August, early August, August 7th, I guess, at a Times Square location. And so they'll make a big show of it and declare the winner. So go Kelly Dugan, I say.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He joined us for a weekly look at news from around the state.